Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside my co-pilot, Sean Boyd. Sean, what is happening tonight, my man?
Well, you know, I mean, some great things are happening tonight. I'm so excited about tonight's show. And, apologize for the technical difficulties. The great beauty of being on live radio, Sean Wally. Sometimes we go on the air a little bit earlier than expected. But, again, tonight, some great guests on. We'll be talking boxing all hour. And I'm excited, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show, as always, here on the Double with the Double S Express. And, Sean, we got to start down in your neck of the woods, the Bay Area, the San Francisco 49ers head coach known as Jim Harbaugh was almost traded to the Cleveland Browns for draft picks, if you believe what's coming out of Cleveland.
Well, I do believe what's coming out of Cleveland, Sean Wally. And, you know, it's quite comical because – you know, the only thing I could say is that I fought my beloved Oakland Raiders for this fiasco that comes about. I mean, who would have thought of trading for a head coach back, you know, for any reason? And then you go back to, 2002, 2003 after, or 2001, actually, just before the Oakland Raiders go to the Super Bowl against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And what happens? But the Oakland Raiders trade away their head coach. So this isn't the first time that this has come about, Sean. And, the fact that it's Jim Harbaugh, it is actually quite shocking. I mean, you have a team that is established in San Francisco. They have all the pieces in place. And yet Cleveland entertains the thought of actually snatching a head coach away. And, you know, let's not brush this over, Sean. I think that this was actually more real and almost evident than, you know, most people would want to think.
And it just goes to add fuel to the fire that the GM and the coach for the 49ers do not get along.
Well, you know, I know that they have a good relationship, but, you know, the old adage is when business is business, that's what happens. You know, it's really sad because you want loyalty. I mean, as a fan, you really want loyalty in your organization. I mean, I think the only loyal people are the fans, because they're the ones that actually take it the hardest when their team loses, and they actually celebrate the most when the team wins without stepping on the field, without taking a hit, without taking a shot. That loyalty goes down to the fan base, and it's unfortunate that ownerships and GMs and coaches can't get on the same page, you know, because, you know, for whatever reason, I just don't know, but you know, for Jim Harbaugh to be thrown out there, I think is a slap in the face to the San Francisco 49ers.
What do you think of the 49ers at first saying, no way, it didn't happen, it's not true, and now they're starting to backpedal and admit, yeah, that we did have some discussion?
Yeah, I mean, even further than that, Sean, I mean, if that was a discussion, that's great and all. But I want to know what was thrown on the table, and I don't know if we'll ever find that out. I believe that, you know, we'll have some reporters and beat writers that are probably on the job right now trying to figure that out. I want to know what the Cleveland Browns offered and what the San Francisco 49ers entertained for the little time that they did as far as this trade rumor is concerned.
Well, we're going to have to shelve the football talk and switch gears, and let's head on out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big-time guest number one tonight. My pleasure to welcome in George Foreman Jr. George, thanks so much for your time tonight.
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Hey, George, thanks for being on the show. And, of course, man, your name is a household name. And not just, it's incredible, not just in the boxing realm, of course, as Dad has taken the business into, of course, you know, famous cookware and other things, and having a strong ministry. Like, just to catch the listeners up, for those who know just George Foreman Sr., how many Georges are there?
You know, that's confusing. My father messed us up. So, nah, there's five boys, all George Foreman, and we're real proud of that. So, yeah, five boys.
And so that's amazing. I can imagine in the household at some point when, you know, how was Dad calling it? Was he saying number one, number two, number three? How would you respond to the call?
You know, it's funny. We all have nicknames, but he has a certain way of saying George. He has five different ways of saying George, and we all just look up like big dummies, like, yes, huh? So it's fun. It's real fun around there.
Well, first and foremost, I want to say congratulations to your dad for being inducted into the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame. Of course, this is a Hall of Fame that has just come out, I believe, in 2013. And actually, Dad will be inducted later this year. And so I just want to congratulate him on that amazing feat.
You know what? It's truly an honor. And when we got the call, it was amazing to be a part of that. You know, we're going in with some great people and some legends there in Nevada Hall of Fame. So it's going to be fun to see everybody and get inducted and just be a part of those festivities. So it's going to be great.
Now, George, there are some things that you and a couple of the brothers have joined together with and kind of taken over, you know, Dad's lineage. Now you have the boxing promotions of the Foreman Boxing
Promotion. Promotions.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that.
You know, it's funny. You know, you talked about the Nevada Hall of Fame and it's real. I was about 16 years old. And I used to see Bob Arum. He's a legendary boxing promoter with Top Rank. He's our partner now. But my father and Bob Arum used to talk these big deals. And I used to sit in the corner and act like I wasn't listening, but just dreaming about one day I could just get in and talk with them about things. And they would talk about pay-per-view and talk about HBO and of different opponents. And I would just sit in the corner like I wasn't listening as a young kid, you know, going to the Mirage Hotel and MGM, being a part of these big events. Now, you know, they said they wanted to do something together to pass the torch. They had so much good history, and they wanted myself, George Foreman Jr., to run the new company, Foreman Boys Promotion. And so Bob just said, hey, George, work, listen, and learn, and I'll launch you into a very successful company for the next generation. And that's what we've been doing. Been traveling to China. Probably had about four or five HBO fights so far, and got a chance to do Manny Pacquiao's co-promotion in Macau, China. It's just amazing to see how quick it's come to fruition.
Now, George, you had to have a lot of insight into the world of boxing, being your father, being George Foreman, and how has that helped you in promoting the world of boxing?
Well, you know, it's helped me a lot. I can actually be friends with the boxers. Number one, I can actually watch a boxing match without crying or covering my eyes. You know, when you think your dad has all these muscles, but when he gets hit in the face, you cringe. You know, you hate it. But so now I'm watching people, you know, fight, and it's truly a science and a sport. But you don't have to be as nervous as when your father was fighting. So that's one good thing. But you know, you can actually treat these guys as human. And know that they have families and they have people that they have to take care of, and they have, you know, mothers and fathers. There's someone's sons, because I lived with it with my father. So it's great to be, you know, had to be, you know, a child of a champion, so you can treat these guys like how they deserve to be treated.
And you've also got great insight to be able to relate to them because of what you learned growing up with your father being the great heavyweight champion. And you can kind of talk to them on a different level than, say, people that weren't involved in a boxing family.
Oh, no, you're exactly right. We were just in China, and Manny Pacquiao, the great Manny Pacquiao, took care of his opponent, Brandon Rios, this November that just passed, and Brandon was just disappointed. And I told him, I said, Brandon, just think if, you know, you're disappointed, but just think if my father would have quit against, Muhammad Ali. Or even Evander Holyfield. He lost to Evander Holyfield. People don't realize that. I said, just think if he would have quit, he would have never got inducted to the Boxing Hall of Fame. He would have never came back and won the championship at 45. And, you know, just giving that insight to younger fighters, telling them just it's about a business and, you know, having integrity and never giving up, that's all it's about. So, yeah, passing that knowledge on, learning firsthand from my father has been a privilege.
George Foreman Jr., kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. And George, you had, you know, you're talking about the things that you've learned from Dad. Now, George the Third, I believe, and you mentioned the nicknames. I believe his is Monk. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Monk.
Okay. Yeah. So Monk is actually in the ring. Did it ever cross your mind to actually go, you know, go that realm as far as, you know, getting into the ring and you know, living through Dad's lineage?
Yeah, you know, quick story about Monk. He's a Rice graduate, so
okay,
16-0 as a heavyweight. But I don't know if you can be the heavyweight champion being a Rice graduate when
right.
at any given time you could just start a business and just and vanish. So he's smart, really smart guy. So he has that, and we all have that competitive ability. My father trained me as an amateur, as a young guy, but he also loved NBA basketball. So he would just take me to all the NBA games and teach me about basketball. So he had me play college basketball instead of boxing. When he came back, he didn't have time to train me, and he didn't want anyone else to train me after he came back. So he moved me over to basketball. So it was good for me.
Well, yeah, so, you know, but there are some times in basketball where that can be a you know, pretty physical and contact sport as well. So you can get knocked around in basketball also.
It definitely helped me to have that competitiveness and be really physical. My coaches love that, definitely.
Yeah, most definitely. And so there's a big fight coming up March 1st in San Antonio. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. and Brian Vera. Tell us a little bit about that fight coming up.
Well, you know, that's March 1st in the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. And Chavez Jr., I mean, this guy, I don't know if he's a he can punch. He can do anything he wants. He's like the richest guy you ever want to meet, but he's like us. He comes from a family with competitors, and he has it all. But there's a young guy who doesn't care about that. His name is Brian Vera, and Brian Vera gave him almost a whooping last time because Chavez didn't come in ready. So now this time Chavez is ready. He's in shape. And he's trying to show the world, like, hey, I'm not just a rich kid. You know, I have a punch and I work hard. And Brian Vera is like, you know what? I feel like you guys took the decision from me last time. So it's going to be an actual rumble. You know, it's not the jungle, you know, like in the 70s, but it's, right. You know, it's going to be a rumble. And we're looking forward to that. It's going to be a great fight. Great fight for boxing fans.
Yeah, most definitely. And so, you know, for Foreman Boys Promotions, this is huge, and we had a couple of guests on last week, and one of the things that we talked about were finding those 50-50 fights. And, you know, I'm looking at this fight. I mean, would you agree that this is one of the 50-50 fights for Foreman Boys Promotions?
Yeah, you know, when you say 50-50, you mean just anything can happen very
It can
even
go either way, yes.
Yeah, when you and that's what you sit down to these fights, and if I tell any of the listeners, there's nothing like going to a fight because when that bell rings, you can't push pause. You can't. It's just happening, and there's no TiVo to rewind it, and anything could happen, especially when guys are really competitive. No one knows who the opponent is. They both feel like they're champions. That's a 50-50 fight, you know, and they both can punch. I mean, that's the name of the sport, and that's what you love about boxing. Anything can happen.
George Foreman Jr. joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. And George, take us inside the world of promoting fighting and promoting boxers. What's the toughest aspect of it, and what are some things that people don't know on the outside?
You know, the toughest aspect of it is something that I love, and it's a lot of work. But, you know, my father has always taught us, you know, I mean, I would see him, you know, make $100 million and then, you know, go to work the next day on doing something else. And I think that he's passed that on to us, especially, you know, me and another one of my brothers who helps me, George Foreman the Fourth. I call him Big Wheel. And, you know, we have that work ethic. And, you know, when people complain about a flight to China in 18 hours or people complain about, you know, just different aspects of it. He had us on the ranch, you know, taking care of animals. So we think that this is just like a day at the spa, you know, all the hard work in boxing. So I think that there's a lot of hard work to it. There's a lot of talking to sponsorships and, I mean, companies about sponsorships. There's a lot of telling fighters no, you know, and one of the toughest parts is telling a fighter, I don't know if you're ready for a big stage, you know, and we don't want anyone to get hurt. So we want competitive fights, people who can really give the fans what they want. And so when fighters don't do that, we kind of stay away from them. So that's a little tough sometimes to say no. But other than that, it's just a great, I mean, there's no real negatives.
Now let's talk a little bit about the reality TV show your family is embarking on. And you wrote, I believe, 6 of the 9 episodes for the upcoming Family Foreman show.
We did that years ago with TV Land. That was a great experience. It was so funny. I wouldn't even turn in papers in my class in high school because I didn't want to read in front of the class. But now I can write treatments and sell those at TV networks. So we did American Inventor for ABC, and we did Family Foreman for TV Land years back. And so that's a great experience to be a producer and to write. It's a great experience, and I don't know why I had to give him credit. It goes back to my father. He blessed us with something called being naive, and we really feel like we can do anything. And so so we're not the sharpest bunch, but we try everything and we try hard at everything. So it allows us to play in every arena.
For those of you just tuning in, George Foreman Jr., kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. And George, I have to give it to the family since you're talking about the charisma of the family. It's not easy, especially coming from the boxing world, to actually have a family that is able to have lots of people gravitate around. And what I mean by that is of course, George, winning the title again at age 45, coming in as a minister on top of that. And so that was a huge question mark when he was coming back into the ring. But, his second stint or that time at age 45, it just seemed like people loved George Foreman, loved the family. You guys were just coming into your own. And again, it's not easy doing that.
You're right about that. It's so funny. I remember my father, some of his last fights, especially when he won the championship. I was playing college basketball when he was winning the championship. And I had little brothers, and they would be bad in the house, and they would run upstairs, and he was training for a fight. He couldn't even get up the stairs. Can you imagine that? Like having,
wow.
And so, I mean, having, bad knees and training for a fight, with guys half your age, you just have that much respect for him. And then every Saturday, he'd be on HBO having these big championship fights, could barely walk, winning, but then he would be right back in church on Sunday, just showing that, making sure that he's, in service with his youth center. He's had that for 30 years, and he's always just been involved in the community. So it's always been great to watch him set a good example for that.
As one of the greats, the heavyweight greats in George Foreman Sr., if you and I have a kindred, if you will. And so my cousin, Henry Clark, I don't know if you were around for this fight, but this was in 1975. My cousin, Henry Clark, fought your dad here in Sacramento.
Wow.
And that was at the Sacramento Arena. And I was there for that fight. As a matter of fact, the reason why I can say that we're linked is there are a pair of boxing gloves that my cousin Henry gave me. Actually, it gave to me and my brother. I mean, these things are old and weathered and everything. But, my cousin fought your dad. Wasn't even close. I'm not even going to go that way. I'm not even going to go there.
Listen. But we can put that on eBay and make some money. Like, because did you see what they did for Ali's gloves? Like, let's get those gloves and dust them off. Man, that's history
amazing.
Right there. Can you imagine that? In Sacramento.
Yeah, so that was at the Sacramento Arena, and man, it wasn't even close. Your dad, it must have been 2 rounds, and next thing, all I remember, I was about 5 years old at the time, and all I remember was is my dad saying it's time to go, and the fight was over. But those are great memories.
That's terrific.
And of course, the connection with you here in Sacramento with Kennedy High School.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing, man.
Yeah, that's it's something I always try to get back, all my high school friends are there, and And it's just funny. My father started his second career in '87 back at Arco Arena again. So I mean, it just there's always special things going on in Sacramento, and always looking forward to get back and doing things there. I mean, it's no place like Sacramento. You know, of course, Houston is my father's where he started, and that's my home now. But Sacramento is always a great place in my heart. So,
and so of course, you know, our marketing director, Alicia Flores, she is here in Sacramento as well, boxing fanatic. And,
yeah,
you know, I guess one of my questions is how often or do you get back to Sacramento and get a chance to get out in the community here?
You know what? That's the biggest thing. I love getting back to Sacramento. I have so much family there, and one of my, you know, just having role models. You know, people don't realize that I used to be Sacramento was just so special to me. There was a gentleman that taught me a lot. His name was Wayman Tisdale, and he used to have me babysit his kids and then take me to the games and have me in the locker room, and it's like things like that in Sacramento you never forget, because now that I'm around fighters, talking to talking to different CEOs, Wayman had me around general managers and other players, so I can interact with the Manny Pacquiao, because I learned that in Sacramento and Wayman Tisdale. So just little special things like that mean the world to me. You know, that's just it's real cool, definitely.
And so definitely you've had a strong upbringing, a real solid foundation, of course, with your dad, and then Wayman Tisdale. You know, the rest in peace. May he rest in peace. And
yeah, the great,
you know, awesome basketball player. Of course, the University of Oklahoma back in the day. And you know, one of the greats to ever come here and play for the Sacramento Kings, and so yeah, man, it's good to walk down a little bit of memory lane with you in the 916.
Yeah, definitely special place.
George Foreman Jr. here on the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. Now, George, back to boxing. You've got another big fight after the March 1 event in San Antonio. Back to Las Vegas, Tim Bradley against Manny Pacquiao, another big one back in Vegas.
You know what? So I get lucky. So that's not a official Foreman Boys fight, but Bob Arum is my godfather. So basically, I worked the pay-per-view with HBO on those fights. So we're in association with that, and I get lucky. I get to be a fly on the wall. I'm very friendly with Tim Bradley and his camp, and Manny Pacquiao is one of my dearest friends. And traveling around the world with him, just getting to know him, I feel like I'm getting to know Bruce Lee or somebody really special. I mean, he's just something, and he's just the fastest human you ever want to be around. Tim Bradley is so fast, and they're just nice guys, but when they get in that ring, it's like electricity. I can't explain it. And they knew that the last fight was something that they wanted to do better. I think this is going to be fireworks. And if you have pay-per-view, if you have access to pay-per-view, you might want to get that, because people are going to be talking about that. And they're so fast, I think there's going to be a knockout. I don't want to see a knockout because I love both of them, but there is going to be a knockout. They're so quick, and they're going to connect. They want to connect. They have an urge to connect against each other. And when you have that, it's going to be – that's one of those 50-50 fights. it is. So that I look forward to that one. I'll be there.
George, do you think that boxing has on the map right now the guys that can get boxing back to the heights of the early 90s, or even back to the days when your dad was fighting all the greats, and bring boxing back to its heyday?
You know what? I think yes, and it starts right here. You know, only thing I remember, my father started his career in Sacramento, his second career, his comeback. He fought at Arco Arena. People were laughing at him, and there was he had his little press conference right around outside of Arco Arena, and nobody really showed up. A couple sports writers were there, and they were laughing at him, but they were there. And I think if, you know, the writers and, you know, radio picks it up, like, you guys are doing such a good job just having me on, and I appreciate that. And all we did was come back to the sport to give a spotlight back to boxing. And once the, you know, the writers and, you know, the radio and TV picks this back up, we're fine, because there's a lot of talented guys out there they just need a they need a spotlight. And once we you know help them get that spotlight, you should see the talent out here. And maybe not heavyweights, but other than that, there's some great talent around here.
And George, you just answered a question for me. I was just going to say, you know, what has happened to the heavyweight rank, and is that, you know, a class that's actually going to find its way again here in the near future?
No, like you see, the biggest heavyweights either they're rapping or they're playing football. Like you just seen the at the scouting combine, the kid from South Carolina, he just ran a 4.4. I mean, that's the heavyweight champion right there. He's 6'5", 260. You know, I mean, that's so. I mean, I think. My father has always said when he was the heavyweight champion, when his first career, he fought for his mother, and he fought to, you know, as for his whole family. Then his second career, he had a youth center that he had to keep open, and he wanted to be the heavyweight champion of that. But I think now, you know, these big guys, they think too much, you know, you know, and I think that, you know, that doesn't make for a good heavyweight. You know, so the little guys are taken, and which is good. I mean, you remember Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yes.
That's fine. They you know, they've had big blockbusters. So that's what's taken over now, and we'll get a heavyweight eventually. But right now in America, you know, I don't think guys want to stick to being power forwards or something. So.
George Foreman Jr., Foreman Boys Promotions, thanks so much for your great insight and your time tonight. Best of luck March 1st in San Antonio for the Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. against Brian Vera fight. We appreciate your time tonight and hope to have you on in the future.
Thank you so much. It was a great time.
There goes George Foreman Jr. Great insight on boxing and the world of promotions and growing up with a famous father, a great fighter, George Foreman.
Yeah, excellent conversation with George. And I mean, we can go on and on with George, and I'm sure we'll get a chance to do that again in the near future. So we'll take this quick break, and when we come back, we will have guest number two, and that is Rich Marotta. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express.
This is Michael David from Seattle. I've lost 35 pounds of fat, and my waist went from size 38 to size 32. I have more energy, and I look and feel 20 years younger.
Andro 400 is the natural, safe, and effective way to lose weight, gain energy, increase testosterone, and feel young again. Too good to be true? Then listen to what Bob and Jim have to say.
And in 30 days, I lost approximately 10 pounds. After another 30 days, I lost another 8 pounds, so a total of 18 pounds lost in 60 days. My libido has been increased 100-fold, and I feel like a teenager again.
I've been taking Andro 400 for about a year now. I've lost a little over 30 pounds. I have more energy. The biggest thing is just feeling better about myself, a lot more confidence.
Guys, it's time to discover what Andro 400 can do for you. Call 888-400-0435. That's 888-400-0435. Or go to andro400.com.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy.
Standing in the Hall of Fame.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Let's go right back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big time guest number two, and that is Rich Marotta of the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame, as well as a very famous sportscaster in Los Angeles, California. Rich, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Thanks. It's nice to be on. Thanks for having me on, guys. I really enjoyed that George Foreman interview. I listened to the whole thing, and what a great young man he is. I've met him before. I met him in Macau last year, actually. You know, George was there to do the Zhu Ximing fight, and I was actually broadcasting the undercard on the internet for Top Rank that night, and so I got a chance to talk with the two boys that are the Foreman boys that are promoting the Foreman brothers, and of course with Big George as well. And George has done a great job with those kids, let me tell you.
And Rich, you had mentioned you're broadcasting the fights for Top Rank Boxing, of course, then, you know, now you have the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame as one of the notches in your belt, and congratulations on putting together this Nevada Hall of Fame, Boxing Hall of Fame.
Well, thank you. It was kind of a daunting task. I was kind of surprised, as was everybody. You know, I think when people first find out that there was no Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame, it comes as kind of a big shock, since Nevada is the boxing capital of the world. And there are several state boxing halls of fame around the country, but Nevada didn't have one, even though many of the most famous fights ever took place right in Nevada. And so we set about to see if we could get that founded. I had been it's kind of funny because I'd been elected to a couple of halls of fame myself in California. And so when I moved to Nevada, even though I'm still on radio in Los Angeles every morning, I do it out of Reno, Nevada. And when I moved to Nevada, I thought I'm going to support the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame because I just want to go to their dinners and events, whatever it was. And as far as I could find, there wasn't. My great shock and astonishment, there wasn't one. So I kind of took it on my shoulders to get one to get it going. And we started last year. And I'm telling you, we had ourselves quite a couple of events. We had a smaller fan event the week of the Mayweather-Guerrero fight in Las Vegas, right at the MGM Grand. And then we had our first big induction dinner and ceremony, which was in August. And it was quite a gala event, nearly 500 people there. We were completely sold out. And what I was so happy about was that just about all of the inductees were there, no matter where they were coming from. Larry Holmes came from East End, Pennsylvania, and Julio Cesar Chavez came from Mexico. Sugar Ray Leonard was in South Carolina at the time, and he flew out. Mills Lane, the great referee who'd been stricken by a stroke and hadn't made a public appearance in Las Vegas in more than 10 years, flew there and accepted his award and induction. I'm telling you, it was an unbelievable night. And people, and Mike Tyson was there, of course, accepting induction as well. And it was just such a nice night and such a gala night and a really good night for boxing because, you know, boxing just doesn't seem to establish itself in having those kinds of events outside of the ring that are nice and wonderful for the boxing fans. And we really thought that we made it that night.
Well, definitely kudos to you for helping to put on a gala such as that. I mean, the names that you mentioned is a walk down memory lane for me. And, you know, especially with the referee Mills Lane as well. I mean, you know, stricken with a stroke and still getting the chance to come out and celebrate, you know, that is a great feat. And, you know, I wish I could have been there. That sounds amazing.
It was quite a night. You know, former middleweight contender Joey Gilbert, who came out of the middleweight, who came out of that contender series that Sugar Ray Leonard and Sly Stallone put on television, and he became a contender as well in a fairly short but a pretty successful pro career. He has told me on several occasions since then that was, he thought, the greatest night in boxing that he had ever been to outside of an actual big fight, outside of a fight. That he thought that was a great, and Mike Tyson that night, and Sugar Ray Leonard, and Larry Holmes, the things they said to me, and how actually I was shocked, you know. I mean, I'm a fan just like you, you know. Even though I've been broadcasting these fights for years and years on television, you know, to me, to have those guys saying that kind of stuff to me was almost surreal, you know, and so I was very, very excited about it. We had great moments, great speeches. Larry Holmes brought the house down with a almost like a 10-minute. He was supposed to go three, but nobody cared because he went 10 minutes, and he was so funny. Larry was like a stand-up comedian. We couldn't believe it. And then Don King got up there and did his thing, as you know what he does. And it was a night. and I hope people will attend this year, and because we'll have the same kind of thing. We had a lot of rivals in that Monte Carlo ballroom that night, okay? A lot of people who were rivals, but everyone was respectful. Everyone was happy. I mean, we had situations like this. Just think about this. Don King and Bob Arum going in together, arm in arm. We had wow. Mike Tyson, who has sued Don King on a couple of occasions, hugging Don King. We had Floyd Mayweather Jr. thanking Bob Arum. One writer actually wrote that he thought I should get the Nobel Peace Prize for bringing all those rivals together under one tent that night and putting them in there. And everybody was happy. There was no trouble. Nobody, you know, there were no snide remarks. It was just such a wonderful and such a different evening for boxing. And now we're looking to have the same kind of thing. We just announced our second inductee class. And as you mentioned to George, and I was very happy to hear his excitement over the fact that, you know, George was going to be inducted and to be out there, you know, with us in August for the big induction ceremony and dinner. And we have a great second class. We're going to have a smaller fan event again this year, probably the week of the Pacquiao-Bradley fight. We'll do something there in Las Vegas, have some of our inductees there. Not all of them, but it's not the induction night, but we'll have some of them there, plus other boxing personalities who are in the, you know, who are there because it's a big fight week in Las Vegas. And that's going to be, Bradley and Pacquiao. So there's a lot going on, and, you know, we're real excited about it with the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame. And, we're hopeful that because we are established now, people can see that we're for real, that maybe we can entice some donations this year to help us out, because it was quite costly. And we are a charitable organization, a 501c3. We gave to what we call boxing-related causes, youth groups, amateur teams, gyms. We gave to Fighters in Need. We gave to the Retired Boxers Foundation. We gave to the college scholarships that they have, you know, because both UNLV and University of Nevada in Reno have boxing teams that are collegiately active and, you know, go up against the other schools that have college boxing teams. So we donated to those. And, you know, we need people's donations. We need people to buy those tickets at our events and to come in. They are tax deductible. And then it's boxing helping boxing. Because believe me, guys, really, nobody outside boxing helps boxers. Nobody outside boxing helps the sport. It pretty well gets the back of the hand of almost everybody. I'm so honored that you guys are doing this tonight, to have you spending a whole hour with George Foreman and myself. I really do appreciate it, and but it's not often that happens for boxing.
No, this is our pleasure, Rich, and of course this is something that we've wanted to do for quite some time. And even though we cover a gamut of sports, you know, boxing is one that has always been intriguing, which is my next question. I mean, you've had the chance in broadcasting and calling football. Of course, calling, you know, my favorite team, the Oakland Raiders and the LA Raiders. You called basketball right. games and hockey. When was it that you knew that boxing was, you know, the sport for you?
Well, this may surprise you guys, but when I was a kid, you know, when I was like 9, 10, 11 years old, my dad had a big stack of Ring magazines and old police gazettes that were out of the garage that were about twice, the magazines piled up really were about twice the size of me. And I used to pore through those magazines. And I became fascinated at a very young age with the sport of boxing. And you're right. I have called play-by-play or color in all of those other sports, and pro football, the NFL, and in the NBA and the National Hockey League. But there was something always in me about boxing. I mean, I can remember as a kid watching those fights with my dad, and I grew up loving the sport, loving the heroes, loving the characters that were in boxing, because I'd read all about them. And I started going to boxing matches at an early age. And so that's where I kind of developed all of that. And when I had the opportunity in the early 80s to begin to call boxing, You know, when I was in Los Angeles at that time doing Raiders football and having already done the LA Kings and working at a radio station down there, that, you know, I made it well known around town that, you know, if boxing became a possibility where it would be open, that I'd be very interested in, you know, being a voice of boxing. And I was fortunate enough to get in it, and I did. Which reminds me, guys, you know, speaking of being a kid and getting in boxing, tomorrow night, I don't know if you realize this, tomorrow is the 50th anniversary. You know, we talked a lot 2 weeks ago about the 50th anniversary of the Beatles. But tomorrow is the 50th anniversary, February 25th, 1964, of something that was just as earth-shaking as the Beatles, and it changed the face of boxing forever, and sociologically it was extremely important. Tomorrow night's the 50th anniversary of Cassius Clay, a 7-1 underdog, defeating Sonny Liston and winning the heavyweight championship of the world. 50 years ago tomorrow night.
Amazing. Amazing.
That was the night when everything changed. And that's one of the nights when I was a little kid, and I went with my dad to the L.A. Sports Arena, sat in the second-to-last row, and on black-and-white television, I watched closed-circuit TV. I was there that night to witness that, and we all just kept waiting for Liston to knock out Clay. And it didn't. And as each round passed, we kept getting more and more shocked at what was unfolding before our very eyes. And even though I was just a young boy, I'll never forget that night, because it was just one of those things that's burned into my memory.
That's the unmistakable voice of Rich Murata, the president of the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame and great sportscaster throughout Southern California. And Rich, when you think back on everything you've been able to do throughout your career, what stands out to you, whether it be boxing matches or the fact that you've done all three major sports in L.A.? What are your fondest memories?
Well, you know, that's a kind of a singular achievement for me, the one you just mentioned. I'm the only sportscaster that's done that, three major league franchises in Los Angeles. So I'm really proud of that. Because basically, you know, I was not a collegiate or professional athlete. So to be able to do color and play-by-play in those various sports makes me kind of a dinosaur, really. It's probably not going to see somebody come out of broadcast journalism to be able to, you know, to do that. As far as singular events, though, are concerned, certainly, you know, to call with Bill King, my great hero in broadcasting, Bill King, the voice of the Raiders for 27 years, and I was his partner for about half of those. And to call the Super Bowl in 1984 with Bill, which the Raiders won the Super Bowl championship over the Washington Redskins 38-9, that unforgettable game in which Marcus Allen ran wild, that was certainly a big thrill. In boxing, I've had many thrills, but, you know, you were talking to George Foreman Jr., and to tell you the truth, the night I did the international telecast, I did the foreign telecast because, of course, it was an HBO affair here in America. But I did the HBO telecast of when George Foreman regained the heavyweight title at the age of 45 when he knocked out Michael Moore. And, you know, guys, I think that's the single most electrifying moment I've ever experienced in sports. It was so unexpected because George had lost all nine rounds to Michael Moore up to that point when he felled him finally with that mighty right hand in the tenth round, and I absolutely kind of went berserk at ringside. I couldn't believe it, and I think that was the loudest crowd reaction that I've ever heard in an indoor arena. It was just deafening, and it was a moment to savor, you know, all my life, and at the same time, it was probably my worst broadcast because I just kind of. I think I screamed incoherently when it happened. I really wish that, like in the manner that my great partner Bill King would have done, or an Al Michaels, you know, come up with something spectacularly clever at that moment. But actually, it was just so overwhelming that it actually even swallowed me up. And then I had another opportunity to do an international broadcast of when Diego Corrales, who was one of our inductees last year as a Nevada resident, fought that unforgettable fight with Jose Luis Castillo in 2005. Many consider it the greatest fight ever fought, and I know it's the greatest. In my opinion, it was the greatest fight of all time. but certainly amongst my peers, most of them will tell you it's the greatest fight they've ever attended or seen personally. And so I've had an opportunity to be around all of that, and it's been very, very exciting for me.
Rich, your 2014 Hall of Fame inductees, of course, Big George Foreman is one. You've got Evander Holyfield,
right,
another. Roberto Duran as well.
Two guys. Two guys who fought each other, Foreman and Holyfield. And Roberto Duran, I'm excited about that. Roberto's quite a character. Guys, you know, he was here in Las Vegas a couple months ago, and I had an opportunity to have dinner with him and his daughter. And he's so funny, Roberto, and he laughs so easily now. You know, when you think about him, he was such a terror in the ring, and but he's so funny now. And his daughter, but he, you know, he'll speak in Spanish, and his daughter will translate, and she kind of has to edit on the fly because Roberto can be a little blue in his commentary whenever he's no matter what he's talking about. So Roberto Duran means a lot to a lot of people. His rival, Leonard, was inducted last year, and now Roberto will go in this year. And in the Nevada resident boxers, Sonny Liston will be an inductee, as will be Cornelius Boza Edwards, who is very much alive and had many great fights in the 80s against the likes of Bobby Chacon and Bazooka Limon, big bloodbath fights. And he will be going in as well as a number of old timers that were putting in because they had in one way or another connections with Nevada, Joe Lewis, Jack Dempsey, and Archie Moore.
Rich, you've got a 33-member panel that votes on the inductees for the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Now,
right.
What criteria do they use?
The criteria on fighters is actually set down into finite numbers, which for example, the non-Nevada residents must have fought a minimum of 10 fights in Nevada or had 7 world title fights in Nevada. For all of the other categories, of which there are the Nevada residents or special contributors in boxing or executives or media or officials, whatever, trainers, promoters, that kind of thing, it's just that they have the criteria is basically that they have made very special contributions and really advanced the cause, I guess you could call it, a boxing within the state of Nevada itself. I mean, we're not going to put somebody in who lived his life in New York and no matter how great he was, advanced boxing in New York but never fought out here or never promoted here or wasn't a media member here. This is the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame. And there are enough greats and enough people who are connected to the sport here within the state of Nevada to be honored, certainly. And we're happy to do it. We've got a class of 18 people going in this year. We mentioned all of those boxers, but we've got people in all those other areas as well. And, they were important, too. The people last year, Don King and Bob Arum, and what they, how they built boxing in Nevada. Freddie Roach, who was our trainer last year, because he lived in Nevada for 15 years, and people don't even realize that, and trained this year. Our referees, for example, Richard Steele, who refereed some of the biggest fights ever in boxing, and Kenny Bayless, who is going to be the first active referee to be inducted. And all these people are going to be there and gather under one tent. They all get an opportunity to speak to the fans, and then the great thing is they are also accessible. I mean, it was just unbelievable to see kids going up to Mike Tyson, getting his autograph last year. I felt just so good about that, And people don't realize basically how accessible and friendly fighters are for the most part. I have found them through my career in all of the sports that I've done to be the friendliest of all the professional athletes and the most accessible to the fans and actually happy for the most part, when they're approached and, have a chance to, talk a little bit to the fans. And we had a lot of boxers who showed up last year at our event, people like famous people, Ernie Shavers, former great heavyweight contender, Leon Spinks, Kevin Kelly, former world champion. I mean, these were people who were just there and paying money to come out and help the event and to be around the event and be around a gala night like that.
Rich Murata, kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. Hey, Rich, you're a very modest person, and you deflect a lot of the praise to, you know, no doubt to great Hall of Fame boxers and participants that have gone into the realm of boxing. But I want to talk a little bit about you. Tell me about the four-time Emmy Award winnings that you've gotten, and what that's like to actually win an Emmy.
Well, you know, I'm very proud of that. And, you know, to tell you the truth, three of them were for boxing that we were doing in the 90s of telecasts of forum boxing. We had a national telecast because boxing at the forum, they were going twice a month there. They developed many great fighters there. And these fighters kind of would go on after forum boxing to greatness, sometimes with other promoters, or, you know, I mean, even with forum boxing while it was in existence. I'm talking about people like Juan Manuel Marquez and Marco Antonio Barrera, Mark Too Sharp Johnson. These are all, you know, Hall of Fame caliber fighters, and just so many great fighters came through and fought at the forum. And so we had two boxing series that were on television. One was on KCAL TV Channel 9, and the other was on Prime Ticket, as it was known at the time, which became basically Fox Sports West. And we did two fights a month from the forum, and we would do one fight a month from somewhere else that Forum Boxing would promote that would be on KCAL Channel 9. So those, we won three Emmy Awards for our telecasts of those fights. And the other Emmy, believe it or not, that I won was for calling play-by-play of Los Angeles Raiders preseason football. The team was myself and Hank Stram, and I forget what the year was. It might have been around 93 or 94, 95, somewhere in there. And the preseason games that we did, you know, on a local basis, and we had quite a telecast. We dressed them up real good, tried to make them as network-like as possible, and we ended up winning Emmy Awards for them. So I was very excited. I'm very excited about that. And believe me, I've got all four of those Emmy Awards, and others we were nominated for, and I'm very proud of those. I'm just, you know, I've been really unbelievably lucky. I cannot express how lucky I have been down through the course of the years to be able to actually participate and be a part of these different great major leagues, as well as all of these great boxing matches, and to have the kinds of partners that I've had. I mean, that's really what helped me and made me very lucky, you know, very fortunate. Bob Miller, the Kings' great play-by-play man. I was his color man. I served two stints with the L.A. Kings, working with Tom Kelly on forum boxing, and working with the great Barry Tompkins on the Sunday night fights on Fox Sports Net and Top Rank boxing. I mean, these are all great, great names, great partners to have. You know, believe me, guys, when you work with those guys, you can't miss.
You know, Rich, you mentioned luck, but if you didn't have great talent behind the microphone, you wouldn't have been doing this great sportscasting career for so long. And what advice would you give to either students or some up-and-coming sportscasters who'd like to do what you do for a living?
Well, I'd give them a couple of pieces of advice. One is to understand that you're going to get some doors slammed in your face along the way, and you just have to be resilient with that and come back. Second is to be passionate about it, and you've got to express through your broadcast a certain passion about the sport or about the game that you're broadcasting. I remember there were years when the LA Kings would be, the Kings would be in last place, or if the Raiders would have during the late 80s, they had some terrible years. But it was always, for example, to broadcast that game. Okay, maybe the game at the end of the year isn't going to mean anything in terms of winning a championship or making the playoffs or something like that, but to broadcast that particular game within the context of that game itself and to be excited about that game, because there still can be great plays and there still can be great drama, even in a game that may not mean any much or anything in the overall picture. But so maintain that passion and let it come through in a natural, enthusiastic way in your broadcasts, and that's what I've always tried to do. I was reading about you guys and the great love you guys had for Dave Niehaus, and I used to listen to Dave actually in Los Angeles before he was up there in Seattle. And there's a guy obviously with great passion, you know, and he showed in his telecast, broadcast. That's very important. And, you know, to have that passion, maintain it, and finally, the biggest thing of all, preparation. You've got to prepare. You've got to do homework. I mean, there's just no getting around it because the public is too sophisticated right now. You can't, in terms of its sports, the public knows pretty much about as much as the broadcasters do. Yeah, so you've got to stay just a little bit of a step ahead of them so that you can tell them something that they don't know.
Rich Marotta, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate all of your insight. You can follow Rich at Boxing Rich on Twitter. And as well, check out the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame, NVB as in boy, HOF.com, and the 2014 Hall of Fame inductees coming this summer.
Right. Thank you very much, guys. And they made the Floyd Mayweather-Marcos Maidana fight today for May the 3rd, so maybe we'll talk again before Mayweather has that next fight.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, guys. Thanks very much. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks again.
Rich Marotta, president of the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame and great sportscaster in Los Angeles. Just awesome insight on boxing, the world of sports, and sportscasting as well.
Yeah, you know, two great guests on the show, George Foreman Jr., Rich Marotta. Man, I feel like I actually kind of went through a little bit of a boxing bout there. Gonna take a quick break, and when we return, we're gonna wrap up this great show number 41. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. Standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name.
Cause you're burning with the brush flame. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, show number 41, Hall of Fame right there. Definitely good for tonight as we're talking the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame with both George Foreman Jr. and Rich Marotta. Rich, the president of the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame, and of course, George Foreman Jr., the son of Big George Foreman, who will be inducted this summer into the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and as you were mentioning with George Foreman Jr., great having him on the show and giving his his insight on the promotion. Losing it there with Foreman Boys Promotion, and of course having Rich Marotta on. Two different styles as far as the interview is concerned. A lot like the boxing style, George Foreman Jr. A lot like his dad, just pound for pound, just bringing us that information. And then of course, Rich Marotta is more like a money Mayweather. You know, his information came out, it was light. He stuck and moved a lot. And, there was, it was key as far as knowing who Rich Marotta is, and of course George Foreman as well. And this was just an awesome show, Sean Wally, an awesome show.
And Rich Murata with the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame with the 2014 Hall of Fame inductees this summer. Rich, if there's anything we can do, if you're listening out there, to help promote what you're doing and get, you know, yes, some funds your way to help promote everything and keep things flowing for you, let us know. And definitely we'll have you back here on the show and keep some progress going and some good vibes coming your way. You're doing great things with the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame.
Man, where did the hour go? I mean, it was so, you know, I was so into everything that was being said, especially with, you know, with Rich and George and, you know, just, you know, some of the upcoming boxing events that are coming up. I can't wait to see. And, you know, I'm on cloud nine right now. This was a great one, a great one.
You know, Sean, it's fitting that we're talking boxing tonight as it is Floyd Mayweather's 37th birthday. So happy birthday to Floyd Mayweather.
Man, you know, 37 years old and still, you know, the champ. And of course, you know, his one of his fights coming up, I look forward to seeing that and seeing how quick and if he's lost a step. I don't think so. But yeah, happy birthday to Mr. Floyd Money Mayweather.
Sean, the other couple big things that are going on right now in the world of sports we'll touch on before we get on out of here is, of course, the Olympics wrapping up in Russia. And that was an interesting 2 weeks. And you've also got the NFL Combine that's been going on in Indianapolis.
Yeah, two different contrasts. And we've talked about the Olympics before. And, of course, the, you know, the United States, you know, started out well, had strong, you know, hopes of winning the medal count. And I believe that we came up short. I believe we were second with 18 gold or 18 total medals to 23. And, you know, I mean, again, it started out well, but then it tapered off a little bit, especially with the U.S. men and women's hockey teams falling by the wayside. And then, of course, that transition into, you know, the combine. And so here we are this week, NFL Combine, lots of hopes, lots of aspirations for NFL teams. And of course, the college players making the transition into the NFL.
It's interesting, the combine and how much weight is put on it. And today, George Foreman Jr. mentioned it earlier. You had the freak athlete, Jadeveon Clowney, out of South Carolina, run a faster 40 than Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, you know, and here's the enigma of Jadeveon Clowney. And this is the reason why there are question marks as far as if we take a gamble, if I'm one of the top five teams, if I take a gamble on him, will he give me 100% effort? So he comes out and runs a lightning fast 40 and 4.47, which puts him right up there with some of the fast, you know, receivers of this year's class. And, you know, some of the fastest to ever run, acted, you know, for that matter. And then the day before, in his bench press at 225 pounds, he pushes up 21. And to give you an idea on how low that is, there was an actual punter at the combine that pushed up 23, Sean Wally. So, you know, as we give Jadeveon Clowney praise in one area, there's that question mark in the other. And again, it arises, is he going to give you 100% as a player for your franchise?
And the combine, too, is something that's very subjective because a panel of people vote on which players get invited and which do not. And you look at this year's Super Bowl MVP, Malcolm Smith, was a starting linebacker at USC, not invited to the combine in 2011. And he winds up making great plays for Seattle down the stretch and winning the Super Bowl MVP, yet nobody thought he was worthy enough, or at least the panel didn't think he was worthy enough to go to the combine.
Yeah, it's interesting in that selection because what I feel the combine is for young athletes with aspirations of making it to the league is to actually improve their stock. It's not an end-all, cure-all to actually, you know, to pick, you know, your top players. You know, there are teams that actually go in there and they say, hey, you know, based on the combine, this is the guy that we're going to draft. I'm more so the type of person that says, hey, what you do on the football field is what's going to determine me picking you. And it's great that you can run a 4.3 or a 4.240. And it's great that you can, you know, have a 40-inch vertical jump. But what can you do on the gridiron should be the telltale. And unfortunately, there are a lot of ownerships that come in, and coaches alike, that pick based on that combine.
And now we all wait. Normally the draft is in April. Now, for the first time, it's pushed back to May. So continue to wait for more football.
72 days away from draft day. That's amazing. And so, you know, so there's all of this. There's going to be all of this grandeur that comes out. Who's going to pick what? Who's going to trade down? What's going to happen in the offseason? All of these things. And draft day is some 70 days away.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd in Sacramento, California. I'm Sean Wally, Tri-Cities, Washington. This is On the Double with the Double S Express. And, Sean, we've had some fabulous guests tonight.
Yeah, again, you know, with George Foreman Jr. on the show, great getting a chance to talk with him, talking about some of the things outside of the boxing world as well, as far as, you know, their business ventures and what makes that family tick. Because, again, I can't emphasize enough on how great the Foreman family has done, especially in the world of boxing, to put their name out and to do some great things. And, of course, Rich Marotta, you know, of the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame, you know, giving us some strong insight, mentioning some big names in the inaugural for the Hall of Fame in Nevada. And, man, I'm going to throw it out there, man. I would love to be a guest there and see some of these, you know, these Hall of Fame legends.
That would be an amazing experience for sure. And you as boxing fans out there, you can do that. You can be at that Hall of Fame inductee event. Just visit nvbhof.com, Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame, and support them and get out there, buy tickets to their events, and keep a good thing rolling. As we are here on the Double with the Double S Express, wrapping up show 41, looking forward to show 42, where big-time guest number one, very excited about this, former NFL quarterback and Washington State Cougar, Drew Bledsoe, will join the show. Be a great show next week. If you want to hear this show again or tune into some maybe you missed, do that on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio. You can look for On the Double with the Double S Express, as well as our website, double-s-express.com, for all of our previous shows. And a big-time thank you to producer extraordinaire to the stars, Alicia Flores, for booking our big-time guests tonight, who were George Foreman Jr. and Rich Marotta. It's been a great show. For Sean Boyd, I'm Sean Wally.
Hey, we'll Sean. Talk to you.
Yes, sir.
One more, man, I just wanted to send a quick shout out to our IT guy as well, Kevin Lord. Man, thanks for all the great things that you do as far as making sure that everything's going well. And of course, Don Newsom, our engineer. So I just wanted to send those shouts out as well.
Awesome, awesome job and that everybody's doing to help us out and put a good product out there for the fans of On the Double. And thanks for listening, definitely. And check out the archives, and we'll talk to you next week right here on The Double with the Double S Express.
Listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Yeah, you can be the greatest. You can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest.
You can beat the world. You can beat the war. You can talk to God, go banging on his door.
You can throw your hands up.